I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Vancouver to Virginia, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you on a Target Demo Friday. Let's start here. On a Target Demo Friday, we love to know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing. Today, there's a little bit of a bonus for you. I have included a picture that nobody should have to witness. Nobody, including myself. However, I was forced to witness this last week when Mraz was on vacation as he sent along a picture of him shirtless, doing a kissy face at me from the beach. I said, if I had to endure this horror, so do you, people, so do you. So that is today's Target Demo Friday meme. Enjoy it at your own peril. Available on Twitter, DA on CBS, and Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I will read through the Target demos throughout, well, I should say at the end of this morning's show, coming up at about 11:40 a.m. Eastern Time. Also coming up this morning on the show, how about Jared Greenberg? He's going to join us from NBA TV on last night's game number 5 victory on the road by the Toronto Raptors. And what awaits them in the NBA Finals with the Warriors? Jared Greenberg coming up here in 15 minutes. Aaron Rodgers' rep takes a hit last night in the chugging beer part of his rep. Once again, Jerry Jones is coddling Ezekiel Elliott. What else is new? And is there bubbling resentment between James Harden and Chris Paul? All of that plus a weatherman goes scorched earth because he's sick of sports fans complaining about breaking into their coverage for those damn tornado warnings. All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, you want to jump in on any of those topics? Well, here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Let us begin with that game. Game 5 last night. Out of the Toronto Raptors, not only win the first game on the road of the series, but also do so in comeback fashion. And overall, may have extinguished the Milwaukee Bucks' wonderful season. Because that's the first time Milwaukee has lost 3 games in a row all year. And once again, Giannis was not dominant. And once again, his role players did not pick up the slack. And once again, the Milwaukee Bucks had lapses in everything. And once again, late in game, they butchered their possessions. And now the Toronto Raptors are a game away from eliminating the Bucks and heading to the NBA Finals. And I have to say, last night was a pretty good eye-opener. Because you know what? The Raptors just proved that they're simply mentally tougher. And did you ever think you'd hear that said about the Toronto Raptors? Ever. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Gives up the pass to Kyle Lowry, who then finds Siakam wide open on the baseline, who dunks it down. The Raptors are 16 seconds away from taking game five and a 3-2 series lead.
You know, I've been here before. I've been to the finals, and it's pretty much nothing new that I'm seeing out there. And just got to have fun with it and enjoy it. Like I told him tonight, we were down 10. I told him to enjoy the moment and embrace it. And then let's have fun and love it. And, you know, this is why we're here.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Raptors Radio, along with my favorite soundbite in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard. I love Kristen Ledlow. She does a wonderful job for Turner Sports. And last night, I totally understand why she asked the question, how do you beat the Bucks four games in a row? And Kawhi, after the game on the court, said, I don't know. I've never done it before. She then followed up with, what's the mindset going into game number six? He said, I don't know. I haven't been to the locker room yet. Kawhi is absolutely amazing because he is incredible on the floor and then completely deadpan, completely literal off of the floor without any excitement whatsoever. And I love it. He is like a basketball killer robot cyborg sent from outer space. He was once again phenomenal last night. But to me, it was an eye-opener because think about what adversity faced the Raptors in this series. The Raptors trailed this series 2-0. In game number two, they had their hat handed to them. They were licking their wounds. People were talking about getting swept, short series. And in game number three, they had a chance to end the Bucks at the end of regulation and couldn't. The Bucks survived to overtime. They had a chance to end the Bucks at the end of the first overtime. They couldn't. Milwaukee survived to the second overtime. And you just kept feeling as though, well, the Bucks were going to break the will of the Raptors. And then you had down 2-1, the Raptors completely outplay the Bucks in every facet in game number four to knot it up at 2-2 and to send a real message to Milwaukee to rattle their confidence. And then yesterday on the road in a game five, a pivotal game, trailing by double digits in the second half on the road, and the Raptors came back to win. All of those moments that the Raptors came back in the face of that adversity, I don't think the Bucks would have done. I'll put it this way. Role reversal. Do I think Milwaukee comes back from a double-digit deficit in the second half in Toronto in that game last night? The answer is no. And at the end of that game last night, how many bad possessions were there by the Bucks? How many bad possessions or bad shot selections were there by the Bucks? You had Chris Middleton driving down the floor with an open road to a layup, down three, granted, but take the easy two. Instead, kicks out to Malcolm Brogdon, who dribbles it off of his own leg. Had Middleton taken it to the rack, now you're down one. Again, you can play the free throw game. And then on the defensive end, unable to get a stop, slipping down the floor, allowing Fred VanVleet to have an open three-pointer to break the tie. Every time there needed to be a swing possession or a big stop or a big bucket by Milwaukee, they folded. And I just believe that for the first time ever, the Toronto Raptors are the mentally tough team. And I think they're going to finish this off, and I did not think that before game number five. I thought Milwaukee was going to get their two games at home. But every turn since the end of game two, the Raptors have stared down a tough situation and answered the bell. And Milwaukee just hasn't. For the first time, I think, ever. We know the Raptors for raptoring. We know Toronto for coming up small in big spots. We know the Raptors consistently have not been the mentally tougher opponent. They are in this series. And maybe that's all because of Kawhi. Maybe that's because they've shaken things up and brought in Marc Gasol and others. Maybe the addition of Danny Green. Maybe it's the hiring of Nick Nurse. Whatever it is, this team right now is the mentally tougher team. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. And a note on Drake. Of course he didn't show up to Milwaukee. Of course. Of course he didn't show up. Because Drake, fake tough guy, would much rather perform his own little concert in front of his own little sycophants in his own little Jurassic Park during his own little commercial breaks than waltz into Wisconsin in enemy territory. Because he knows if he steps foot inside that state border, he's getting a case of beast, Milwaukee's best, poured all over him. He's got a cheese head with antlers coming out of it, stuck on his head and nothing else. And then he's going to be tied up to the Fonzie statue. He knows he is not making it out of Wisconsin alive. He's a fake tough guy. He's a clown. And his gloating after the game last night was nauseating. I want to like the Toronto Raptors because I really like Kawhi. And I really like the city of Toronto. And I really like the idea of a team that has never been to the NBA Finals knocking off the Golden State Warriors. You know me. Hell, the city of Toronto hasn't played for a championship since Joe Carter was bouncing around the bases. That's 25, 26 freaking years ago. They haven't played for a championship. So I'm all in on a city that has had its heart broken too many times before. But man, does Drake make it tough. I'm really starting to dislike the Drake. Hey, the Drake. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, oh, isn't that special? Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, is happy that Steph Curry is finally getting the recognition he deserves. Come on, Jared. He'll join us coming up here next. I've got a piece of my mind for him. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Everyone gets fatter with age. Wouldn't you think you would just get better at it?
Wow, John, you're fatter and balder. You must be awesome at eating hot dogs.
In one area of your life, you should be improving in that area, right?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Target Demo Friday, everybody. Send us what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening, and we'll read through those coming up here later on in the program. Remember, there's so many different ways you can listen to the show across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also, on SiriusXM Channel 206, listen to us on your phone using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. And, of course, you can watch us at watchda.com. You know our next guest from NBA TV and Turner's coverage of hoops. He's a phenomenal reporter, anchor, and host. He has joined the DA show many a time before. He's our friend. He's a respected colleague, Jared Greenberg. Jared, good morning.
Wow, that was the nicest intro I maybe have ever gotten on any. Like, Bill Ryder doesn't do that.
And Bill Ryder really loves you up.
He does. But now, is there something coming here? Or are you setting me up for something?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's what I figured. Yes. I like it that way, though. You know that.
Because I do admire your basketball sensibilities, and I do respect you as a colleague quite
quite a great deal, and I consider you a friend. However, I heard you on Bill Ryder's show the other day, and you were talking about Steph Curry, and I want to play this clip for our audience right now.
Flash Steph Curry, I'm so happy that America, that North America, that the world is getting to see him on this stage where he can show in full bloom how great of a player he is.
Now, are you telling me that America didn't know that Steph Curry was good before this series? I mean, he's a two-time MVP, and he won a world championship and won 73 games, all without Kevin Durant. What are we seeing from Steph Curry that people didn't know?
Well, first of all, can I nitpick a little bit?
Yeah.
I hate the term world championship. It's just a little thing. It's a little pet peeve of mine. Anyway.
All right. what am I supposed to call it?
NBA champion?
Okay. All right, got it.
Here's the thing. Early in the second round against the Rockets, I was hearing, I work with a guy every day on the radio, Brendan Haywood, that was calling into question Steph Curry's ability to raise the level of his game as the stage got bigger, as the lights got brighter. We're calling into question, yeah, Steph Curry's got two MVPs, but he's never won a finals MVP. Yeah, he's won three titles, but he's never been the best player in the biggest series of the year. And my point was that I think we missed the fact that Steph Curry might be the best team guy we've seen in a really long time in this sport. Yes, Steph Curry's had his moments where he hasn't shot the ball well in a playoff series or in the finals, but ultimately what you have to understand about this guy who's a volume shooter at times is a guy who's willing to defer, who's willing to work harder than anyone else. I am so sick of this narrative around the NBA that Russell Westbrook plays harder than anybody else. If you watch a Warriors game for 5 seconds, you will realize that no one works harder than Steph Curry. He never stops moving. He wreaks havoc on the defense. And I just think he's got a little underappreciated because he doesn't have these incredible eye-popping numbers, specifically in the playoffs and even more specifically in the NBA Finals. And when there's a guy like Kevin Durant who's not in the mix, or DeMarcus Cousins who's not in the mix, he now is showing that he has the ability to do that, but at times he's had to compromise parts of his game and some of his numbers for the betterment of the team. And that's what we want out of our stars, because in the end, all he does is win.
Well, you're acting like that this is MIB and all of our memories got erased. Like, little old Steph Curry's finally showing America what he can do as the underdog. The guy's a two-time MVP. He had a world championship before Kevin Durant ever showed up. I mean, the guy sells more jerseys than anybody but LeBron. Everybody knows who Steph Curry is. How can we possibly put the little underdog, they're finally getting recognition card, on the most popular player in the game outside of LeBron?
I don't know. Maybe I've been speaking to different people than you. I just feel like there's a lot of people trying to poke holes in how great he is.
The Warriors are the most dominant machine locomotive that the NBA has seen in 25 years and possibly ever. And you want to put on, they're the little engine that could. They're finally getting recognition.
That's right.
I mean, how could you do this? And Bill Ryder, shame on Bill for not challenging you on this. Like, yeah, it really is good that Steph Curry's finally getting recognition. All I see is Steph Curry jerseys in every 8-year-old I've ever passed cross with. But suddenly he's finally getting recognition? Come on!
Well, where do you have him right now in your list of best players in the game right now?
Well, are we taking LeBron out of this? Because
no, we're not taking LeBron. He's still playing in the NBA, isn't he?
I agree. But because LeBron missed the playoffs this year, there's kind of been this reshaking of, like, we don't really know if LeBron is the greatest player anymore. So I would put Steph under LeBron, under Kawhi, under Giannis, and and Durant. And let's put him there. 5.
Okay. But again, so this speaks to my point. You're anointing guys like Giannis, who have done nothing in this league that even sniffs what Steph Curry has done, and already saying that they're better. That's my point in all of this, is that Steph Curry has achieved, Steph Curry has done, but yet when it comes to looking at the greatness of players in our game, we want to anoint guys who have done
nothing. So you're gonna quibble with my Giannis. Okay, that's fine. So would you put Steph at number 4 instead of number 5 there?
I honestly, right now, I would probably put Steph at number 3.
Okay, so you would put Durant at two, or you would slide LeBron out of all of that?
No, LeBron should be at. You know what? Actually, yeah. Now that you say it that way, I would probably go Durant one, Kawhi two, LeBron three, Steph four.
Okay, so you're going to kill me on one slot for Giannis. And maybe,
but,
you know.
But that's the point. But that's, maybe the point. That's the perception of all of this.
And,
that's
and
how
I could
works.
Understand that. And you could make an argument, okay, that we would slide him to number four. But again, if we make him the number four greatest player in the league, who's overlooking him? I mean, well, this is the problem. Is that mean. Steph Curry is so likable because he's the right. He's always been a little engine that could, and he came out of Davidson, and he shoots threes from all over the place, that it's impossible to kind of dislike him, except, I think, for some of his antics on the court. But other than that, there's, like, nothing to pick apart for him. So I think maybe when anybody questions it, people like you get real defensive, like, oh, my God, how could you possibly question Steph Curry?
Right, because I feel like a lot of what I have heard and read and the comments are that Steph Curry plays on the greatest team of all time, so that's why he's great. And when you really analyze the numbers, when has Steph Curry ever put up a big game on the biggest stage, which is just a false statement in itself. But I hear a lot of that, and I think that we need to separate and not penalize greatness and not penalize Curry for being a part of it and recognize that he's one of the biggest reasons why it is the greatest team of all time, possibly.
Well, he's the biggest reason. Let's put it that way. He is the single right. biggest reason. And it's right. not Kevin Durant. But so do you mark down Durant's greatness at all because he has played alongside Curry and the rest of the Warriors?
No, I don't. I think it's a ridiculous thing that we have to even engage in that type of conversation. I you know, D.A., I was on, you know, back when you used to have me on a lot more, I would talk about how I like the fact that Kevin Durant made the move to Golden State. I actually thought there was more pressure.
Oh, God, I hated that take.
Right. There was more pressure on Kevin Durant because imagine if he didn't win with this roster, how much pressure he would be under.
He couldn't not win. You could not not win. It was impossible. It was mathematically impossible for Kevin Durant not to win a championship by going to Golden State, and you know it.
Well, that's not true. I mean, they're people. They still have to play the game. But I don't think you take away from any of these guys for their accomplishments. I mean, Kevin Durant, the last 2 years in the NBA Finals, was the best player on the court, and on that court with him was Steph Curry and LeBron James. So I don't want to take demerits from, you know, Kevin Durant because or give him demerits because, you know, he's on a super team. There's this. You know, I don't mind the super team. I enjoy watching greatness. I appreciate really well-played basketball. And I understand if you're a fan of another team, why this makes you angry. But if you're not specifically disappointed by your team, I don't understand how people don't appreciate when you're seeing one of the great things in front of your eyes on a nightly basis.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, joins us. Well, because it has sapped all the drama out of things. I mean, the Western Conference playoffs was a bore. Look at how good the East is. And that we'll probably have at least a six, perhaps a seven-game series to decide who goes
there. They were down by 15 in three consecutive games and came back to win. Like, to call that game a bore means you're just reading the recap after the game and not watching the game.
Well, come on. If we are not going to have the Warriors play for 9 days. Yes, individually being down by 16 is interesting, but in all of those games, I'm sure you said the same thing I did, Portland's not safe up 16, 17, 18. I said this on the air. I said unless they were going to be up at 28 or 29 or 30, it was not going to be safe. You almost knew it was inevitable they were going to choke those leads away.
Well, just remember, Golden State was up 31 in a game this postseason and lost.
Well, in a first-round series where they knew they were going to win anyway, right, with no chance of losing to the Clippers.
Okay. I mean, if you're watching that series, I think that, listen, did I think it would be the most ridiculous thing ever if the Clippers won? Yeah. But in the end, it was the longest series the Golden State had to play, and there were times when the Clippers looked like, oh, man, they're actually going to steal this one.
Well, okay, you just said it would have been the most ridiculous thing ever. Okay, so right. that's where your bar was if it happened. So I don't want to hear that it could have happened.
But to say the games themselves have not been entertaining, I think is a bit misleading if you're actually watching the game.
That's not a good barometer because interesting four-game sweeps are not as interesting as seven-game series.
So you would take, hold on, this is a great question. So you would take a seven-game series where all seven games are decided by 20 points or more over a four-game series where all games are decided by 10 points or less?
Look, that's a fair question, but I would rather have the Golden State Warriors in a Game 7. Yes, I would rather have seen what happened last year against the Rockets, them have to go on the road in a Game number 7, even if the Rockets missed 27 threes in a row, rather than a four-game sweep over the Portland Trail Blazers. There was not a team in the West that could have sniffed them this year, as we saw from the Rockets, even without Kevin Durant. The West has been a bore this year because it's so inevitable, just like it was the last 2 years.
But so, again, another question for you, DA. I'm glad I'm interviewing you this morning. why is it that we're putting it on Golden State for their greatness? And why don't we demand more of our teams to say, hey, you know, listen, I actually think there's
Collect two of the five greatest players of all time, arguably, which is what the Warriors
have. No, what it is not giving Chris Paul a max contract, tying your hands for the next 5 years, when he's going to be 37 years old, making $48 million a year. No, it's smart decision-making.
Okay, but who else has the option to go get Kevin Durant to team with Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond? The deck was stacked as soon as they got Kevin Durant.
Okay, so the Yankees in the 90s, they were absolutely wrong for everything that they did.
Well, wait a second. Am I blaming the Warriors for doing all that they can to be great? Of course not. Of course they should try to be great, but let's not act as though this is competitive balance. Let's not act as though, hey, everyone has a chance to do this. No, the Warriors were a 73-win team that had a moment in time because of the way that the salary cap jumped, because of the way that the TV contract was structured, and the way that the one player that could do this became a free agent at that exact time and was a gutless coward and had to go win a championship where he knew it was inevitable. That was the perfect storm for the Warriors, and they got it. Nobody else had that option. And since they were created like this, nobody's had the option to do the same exact thing, and it might never happen again.
Well, see, that's not true, because there have been plenty of guys who have had the opportunity to leave. Paul George could have left this past summer.
But right? Paul George isn't Kevin Durant.
No, but we're talking about one guy, right?
We're talking about you called him the best player in the NBA. So when is the best player in the NBA going to join a 73-win team? Find me that scenario.
Right, but again, what I'm saying to the rest of the league is, and a big portion of the league over the last 5 years, who have decided that tanking is a better philosophy than being competitive, and I think that we too often punish the team for being great, rather than focusing in on why didn't the rest of the league make better decisions. I get it. You're right. Like, the great roster, maybe they still don't lose, but we could have had a better competitive series if the Rockets would have made some better roster decisions. You know, if Jusuf Nurkić doesn't get hurt, you know, late in the regular season, maybe that series is a little different. Do the Warriors still win? Yes. But it's more competitive, to your point. Maybe it goes longer.
But Jared Greenberg, you're saying it's unfortunate that Jusuf Nurkić got injured, whereas the Warriors lost Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins. Like, right. They have so much talent, they can lose two perennial All-Stars and one of the greatest players ever and still sweep in the Western Conference Finals. It is not an even playing field.
So what would you like to have happen?
I would like Kevin Durant to leave. I wish he would have never went there. I would like him to leave, and I would like Klay Thompson to leave as well. And then we'll really see how great Steph Curry is in carrying this team.
Yeah, but again, name one team in the NBA where you don't have multiple All-Stars and you ask them to go be competitive. I agree. Kevin Durant leaves.
Be competitive? Yeah, I think that Steph Curry should be competitive if all he had was Draymond Green and the rest of that roster. Yes.
Listen, LeBron James had a roster full of lottery picks, and he couldn't even make the playoffs.
I know, and it was a bad season. That's a bad look for him. I mean, he was injured, but it was a bad look for him.
Yeah, I get it. But just to, you know, do the whole to have, instead of asking other teams to go make moves or develop their players or make right draft picks or make the right signings, just to say we got to disband the Warriors for the goodness of everybody, to me sounds a lot like you're handing out participation trophies.
No, I would like to go back to an NBA where at least...
Whoa, you'd like to go back to an NBA what? Because this is the worst argument of all time.
Every era of the NBA has had
teams like this.
No. This has never happened. A team set the all-time record for wins, went to Game 7 of the NBA Finals, then added the best player arguably in the league, at least the second best player in the league.
Okay, but
that has never happened before. Don't tell me we've always had teams like this.
It's 3 years old now. Get over it. We've had eras in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
That's a
70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s where there have been dominant teams that are...
Okay, not at this level, though.
Hold on. You thought somebody could have beat Jordan in the 90s? Name one team that had a legit shot. Jordan never had a competitive series in the playoffs.
Okay, so the best Jordan team was 96 because that was the team that won the 72 games. Okay, yeah. Imagine the year after they got Charles Barkley. Imagine in 1993 they added Patrick Ewing. Though. That's what we're talking about.
But again, this is changing the story because I've spoken to a lot of these guys about this. Yes, some of them don't like the fact that Durant jump shipped and went where he went, but they also admit, and I've spoken to Isaiah Thomas about this, as much as he hated Michael Jordan and hated the Bulls, and it was an interesting rivalry because he was from Chicago, he said, if the salary cap was structured the way it was and I could have gotten paid to go to Chicago and play with Michael, I would have done it.
Okay, it didn't happen.
But don't make this stance of, oh, these guys were so much better for staying with their teams. No,
I didn't say that.
It's because this option wasn't there.
I just said that
in the 80s and 90s, to think that any other team outside of the Celtics or Lakers had a chance is a ridiculous thought. This is nothing different than prior generations. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying instead of focusing on the Warriors let's focus on the other 29 teams in this league.
For 10 years in the 80s, the Lakers had an equivalent in the Celtics, and the Celtics had an equivalent in the Lakers. By the end of that decade, the Celtics could not get over the Pistons, who then could get over the Lakers. And then we had the Bulls get over the Pistons. So in that 12-year period, we had four totally different franchises become superpowers. In this 5-year period, we have one team that has become unbeatable, except for a time when they collapsed because the greatest player of all time, arguably, came back from down 3-1 with LeBron. That is not the same.
You're forgetting about the whole story. Miami, first of all, Cleveland went 4 straight years, right?
Uh-huh.
So that was a team that was doing it to the equivalent. Mm. And then before that, you had Miami, and in the West, you had San Antonio.
But they were all beatable. They all lost NBA Finals or lost
LeBron
playoff
James
series.
LeBron James went to the NBA Finals 8 straight years. He was beatable. Ask the Toronto Raptors how beatable LeBron James
was. He's got 3 rings. Of course he was beatable. He was beatable 6 times in the NBA Finals. that's the numbers.
Is this the best therapy you've had in a long time?
Now, unfortunately, I'm up against a break. Can we do this next week?
From the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
Can we do it in the Eastern City so I don't have to wake up early?
Yes, absolutely. We will cater to your needs.
Thank you.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV. You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
All right. Jared Greenberg joining us this morning on the show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Too much fun with audio.
The main thing is playing the game. It's kind of like a tongue twister. All right, appreciate you, DA.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's kind of like a tongue twister. Welcome back. 47 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that the DA Show's full episodes are available on both podcast form and on-demand form on our website. So if you want to hear my dust up with Jared Greenberg again, a 15-minute argument over the supposed greatness of the Golden State Warriors. You can listen to that because we'll post that after the show, as always, in both full episode form and interview form by simply going to iTunes and radio.com and other places podcasts are available and simply search DA or the DA Show. And then also you can find it on our website, just go to cbssportsradio.com/ or just click on the DA Show tab from there. It's an Ask the Pros question of the day kind of day as well. So tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll read those coming up later on in the show. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, because it's brought to you by O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And our toll-free line this morning is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. GEICO.com. Logan tweets, that was therapy for me at least. Warriors apologists, get them out. I mean, the Warriors are already great. Do we need apologists for them as well? C2 tweets, that was like the best segment ever. What a great debate with Jared Greenberg. The Silver Fox tweets, that was the best interview ever. I mean, all that's missing is beer and nachos.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
This is why I love Jared Greenberg. Is because Jared is smart, He knows his basketball. He's got good opinions. And he's able to spar, but he doesn't take it personally. It's still just sports. And when I hear two people on TV or two people on the radio and they're arguing over sports and they've made it personal, you're lost. It's wonderful fun. It's wonderful entertainment. I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy doing it against people that are really good at it. Jared is. But I cannot agree with him in any way, shape, or form that this has been fun to watch the Warriors over the last 5 years, that we should just appreciate the greatness, or that somehow Steph Curry has been overlooked. I mean, he's a two-time NBA MVP. He's going to have 5 rings by the time this season is done, or 4 rings in 5 trips to the NBA Finals. We've already marked him the greatest sharpshooter in NBA history and already put him in the NBA Hall of Fame. He can't be overlooked anymore. That Davidson thing doesn't work anymore. It's like Michael Jordan at his Hall of Fame speech bringing up he was cut from his 9th grade basketball team. You can't keep using that. I mean, you are widely recognized as the greatest basketball player ever. It can't be like, yeah, but when I was 13, I was overlooked. Yeah, well, you're not 13 anymore. Donald tweets, DA, you are biased against the Warriors. Why? I am not sure you are. You don't want to celebrate excellence on the court or off the court. You prefer parity or even mediocrity. I feel sorry for you. Well, Donald, I wouldn't waste any time feeling sorry for me, certainly. There's a lot of other things to feel sorry for. Children that are without food, people that are without houses, people that have dealt with really tragic circumstances in their life, illnesses. Do not feel sorry for me because I don't appreciate the Warriors. Stop right there. Number two, from a sports standpoint, I celebrate excellence all of the time. Maybe you've missed my 1,000 hours of television that plays incessantly on NFL Network, that all it does is celebrate the greatness of the NFL. You might have missed when I've reveled in the championships of forlorn cities like Cleveland finally winning a title with the Cavaliers. You may have missed me lamenting the train that left the station in Seattle just a couple of days ago, as the window of that greatness and that Super Bowl win for the Seahawks is now officially closed. You may miss every time I bring up players that were unbelievably great that never had a chance to win a Super Bowl. How I oftentimes go on diatribes about Dan Marino or Barry Sanders. You may have missed my entire description of going to the Jackie Robinson Museum and what it meant to me and to see that in historical context. You may have missed all of these things when I consistently appreciate excellence and greatness. Perhaps because you are so born in on that I'm sick of the Warriors and sick of the Patriots. But I'm not going to apologize. I know how I feel, and I'm going to express that in the way that I feel fit. And the way that I feel fit is this. Never before has a historically great team that needed nothing else to win a championship added the best or second best player in the league. That has never happened before. When the Yankees got Alex Rodriguez, they were not coming off of a 120-win regular season that ended in the World Series. When the 85 Bears won in 1986, they didn't add Lawrence Taylor. The 72 Dolphins in 1973 didn't add Roger Staubach. Michael Jordan's Bulls didn't bring in Charles Barkley. And I don't want to hear, well, the rules were different back then. Okay, fine, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. The New York Islanders didn't add Wayne Gretzky. That's what happened. And you guys can stick your heads in the sand and act like ostriches. Well, why doesn't the rest of the NBA catch up? There isn't the option to catch up. First, you've got to build a team that wins 73 games and a world championship. Then you've got to have the one moment in time where the salary cap surges because of a brand new television contract, which the league doesn't want to factor into one offseason, but wants it layered over multiple offseasons. And then you have to have the NBAPA decline that and say, no, we want it all at once. And then you have to have the best player in the NBA or the second best player in the NBA available in free agency at that exact moment. You give me the historical precedent to that. You give me the parallel to that, and then you tell me this has happened before. It hasn't, and it may never happen again. But people don't want to talk about details. They want to say, well, why didn't everybody else catch up? Because they can't. It's impossible. You can't do it. So stop making that argument.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.